Shalom, brethren. Once again, welcome to the daily devotion. I'm very sorry. Yesterday, I had some challenges. I could not submit the daily devotion. But I want to thank God that I've been made able to do it this morning. And I believe the Lord that we will continue throughout the week to accomplish this commitment. Now, before we read our Bibles, can we just bow our heads in prayer? Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to thank you once again this morning for this time you've given us, even as we open your word to read and look into the word of truth. That Father God, you may bless the speaker, the hearer, and the receiver of your word. We pray, Father God, that you bring us into that purpose unto which you have called us. And also, we have this morning devotion before thy throne of mercy. I commit all these thoughts into your hands, even for your own glory. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we pray, amen. Now, may we just quickly turn in our Bibles to the first chapter of the book of Matthew. We want to read verse 24, or maybe we can just read verse 21. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. As we are speaking on this topic of the true fellowship, it was in God's mind, even before the foundation of the world, that we should have fellowship with him and with one another. And we all know that in Christ Jesus, we were all blessed with all spiritual blessings, and that we were made to be able to come into the presence of God and worship him. For the scripture says the church in the mind of God was to be without blame and to be perfect. So in that perfection and in that holiness, we come to God and have fellowship with one another and with God. So our fellowship is in the Spirit of God, in the truth of God, by the Word of God. So we see here, the scripture says in this prophecy of the birth of Jesus, that they shall call his name Jesus, for he shall deliver his people, or he will save his people from their sins. So we know sin is what separated man from God. Sin is what separates man from man. It's sin that brought in enmity. It's sin that brought in divisions. It's sin that brought in all the things that hinder our fellowship. But here is a name presented to us. Here is what God is giving us now, that we should be able to fellowship with God. Here is a name given us. As the Lord said in Deuteronomy, there will be a place that I'll put my name in. So here we see the name of deliverance. We see the name that cleanses man from his sin is put in the man, Jesus Christ. And Paul teaches us that we are reconciled, or there is only one that can make concession for us. That is the man, Jesus Christ. So here we have the name given for our ability and our access to a true fellowship. So in that name, and only in that name, are we gathered together
For the Lord Jesus Christ himself said, if two or three be gathered, and I want to believe it is not just their gathering, it's not there by their own willingness to gather, it's not by their own power to gather, but if it is Jesus Christ who gathers them together. And we know if there is a place where God planted or placed his name that people should fellowship. Here it says, when two or three fellowship or they are gathered together by the same spirit, by the same power, by the virtue of deliverance and salvation, if they be gathered together and they shall pray, God in heaven will answer. So here it shows us that it takes that fellowship for us to be heard of God. It takes that fellowship that we should be in for God to answer our prayer. So we just want to go back to maybe the first place where we hear or it is written about fellowship. It is in the book of Genesis where we see people coming together for fellowship and to worship God. In chapter 4, it says, in verse 2, and in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. And Abel also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was angry, and his countenance fell. Now we see how Paul put it in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. We'll just read there, maybe verse 4. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead, still speaks. Now here we see these two brothers, so to speak. We see these two worshippers. They are coming together. They were in the same place and built an altar in the same place to worship the same God. But here we are told that Abel brought in a sacrifice that was respected of God, and the sacrifice testified of his righteousness before God. So you see, though they were in the same place, but truly they were not in fellowship. They were not in fellowship in their origin. They were not in fellowship in their revelation. They were not in fellowship in their desire. You see, when Cain was rejected, he never tried to find the reason why he was not accepted and rectify it and come into true fellowship and offer something that God would receive. But rather, he got angry. And when people get angry, they disfellowship themselves. You cannot be angry with your brother and fellowship with him. You cannot be angry with God and worship him. So there was a disfellowshipping because Cain was not accepted, all because of his origin. And as I said before, our origin is there in the beginning where we were in the mind of God, and God purposed in himself to bring us to himself through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why there was given that name, for our deliverance. So our fellowship with God is upon the basis of our deliverance. And Abel offered a sacrifice that pointed to Calvary, that pointed back to the beginning, where in the mind of God, the Lamb of God was slain. So we can see here, true fellowship is where that name is put. God put his name in the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And before the foundation of the world, there in that name, in Christ, who is the Messiah, was put there as a foundation, our very salvation. So here we see true fellowship is not only determined by coming together. It's not just by being in the same place, but there is something that brings us into the realities of the mind of God. It is that revelation that by faith we come to God by the name. We come to God through the door, even as Jesus Christ said, he is the door. Amen. So we really need to come together. We really need to have fellowship. The prophet spoke, you know, when he was preaching on the Spirit speaks through the prophet in 1916. He says, every man ought to have a church home. You ought to have a place where you worship. Don't just float about from pillar to post, but somewhere that you go to church and call it your church. And you should have some way to pay your tithes and help support the cause. So here we can see there is a cause, there is a purpose, there is a reason why God wants us to be in fellowship. So when we are in that true fellowship, as the prophet says, we should not just float from pillar to post. We should not just float around. We should have a place where we respect. We should have a place where we have other brothers and sisters, where together we can come together for the same purpose, because that is fundamentally what God desired right from the beginning. For the scripture says we were written our names. We were called to that assembly of the firstborn. We were of the firstborn. We were called there to be together. There is that spirit of togetherness in us. There is that desire to be together in fellowship and achieve the purpose. Not like Cain, as John puts it. He says, don't be like Cain, who was of the evil one, who killed his brother. So our influence and our desire should not be that which can be instrumental to the destruction of fellow brothers as we are in fellowship. So we come to God and we are in God for a cause, for a purpose. That's what brings us together. It is to accomplish that which God has called us to, and we are in the same name. Now we can see also that our background, our desire, must be one. You know, in the case of Peter and Cornelius, Cornelius was a devout man. He was one who was desiring to worship God. And he was in Caesarea. And we see also Peter, who is in Joppa. He has got the same desire. While Cornelius was praying, Peter was also fasting and praying. In actual fact, they were in fellowship, although they were in different places. Yes. But because of that desire to fellowship, God did not just have Cornelius fellowshipping with God with him, within himself and by himself, and Peter fellowshipping with God within himself by himself. He brought these two together because they had one common purpose and one common cause. That's why Christ says, if two or three be gathered together. So we are brought together. We are made of the same mind. As The word says God put in the church some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the sole purpose of perfecting the church in fellowship. So we are brought together into that name by which we are made to have true fellowship. Now, as we stand universally, we may not be able all the time to be together, but in our localities, we come together in fellowship. And when we are together like that, didn't Paul say, when you are gathered, and my spirit also with you there? Paul was not in that vicinity. He was somewhere else. But he says, the cause you are gathering together for, and the purpose is the same as I. So I'll be with you even in that fellowship. Now, if that be so in our spirit, you know, it just makes us or moves us to what the prophet says here, that we should have a church home. We should have a place where we worship. We should have a place where we fellowship. We should have a place where we share. We should have a place where we give. We should have a place where we express ourselves. And that place is not just a place. It is where God has put his name. And the name of the Lord is in his word. Because this is what God told Moses, even in the book of Exodus. We can read the book of Exodus. It is in chapter 30 of the book of Exodus, where God instructed Moses to build the tabernacle. In verse 36, it says, chapter 30, Exodus chapter 30, verse 36. And you shall beat some of it very fine and put some of it before the testimony in the tabernacle of meeting, where I will meet with you. It shall be most holy to you. So here God is telling Moses to bring this oil into the tabernacle. And the tabernacle here, it says, it is the tabernacle of meeting. It is a tabernacle of fellowship. It is a tabernacle where they gather together for worshiping the Lord. And here is how Stephen put it when he talks of the tabernacle. In the book of Acts, I think we can just read verse 44 of chapter 7. It says, our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as he appointed, instructing Moses to make it according to the pattern that he had seen. Now here Stephen calls it the tabernacle of witness. And in Exodus, it is the tabernacle of meeting. Why meet? Because it is the purpose of God that people of like faith should meet together. But there must be a place where they meet. Also, Stephen says it is the tabernacle of witness. Witnessing the presence of God. Witnessing the essence of God. Witnessing the realities of God. So we need to fellowship. We should meet under that name. We should have fellowship in that name, whereby we were redeemed. And we worship God because God is witnessing to us that he is in our midst. And the scripture says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So we have a place where we have that liberty to express ourselves. Liberty, liberated from sin, liberated from all the foul things of the world, that we may be in togetherness and we worship. And remember, there must be an objective, there must be the purpose, there must be the reason why we meet together. If we can consider that purpose whereunto and whereby we meet, it will bring us, every one of us, to be of a true heart. Like David says, he who comes to the holy mountain of God is he who has abstained from sin, is he who has made himself clean, who has a sanctified spirit and heart, that we may have fellowship together. Cain and Abel were in the same place. Cain and Abel were worshiping the same God. Yet, there was no fellowship. Even when they sat down to discuss the word of God, Cain became angry, stood up, and killed his brother. Yet they were in the same church. So being in the same church actually is not the point. But we are called into a place because nobody should just float around. There's a place where we have fellowship of those of like faith. So here we see Cornelius and Peter had true fellowship. And also in the tabernacle, they had there a meeting place where they would witness the deliverance of God. Each one of them who entered there was delivered from the bondage of Egypt. Each one who entered there was in the covenant that God made with Abraham. Each one who entered there was one who had faith in God. So there was a true fellowship there. And God provided a place for that true fellowship. So here we see that we are brought together. We are made one by the revelation that God has imparted on us. We are made one by the life that we derive from the name of the Lord, which is the name of our deliverance. Now, maybe we can just look at the book of Numbers, and we see how they would come into this, into the tabernacle or into the temple to worship God. We turn to the book of Numbers, chapter 19, and we want to read verses 1 to 6. 19 verses 1 to 6. Now the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron, saying, this is the ordinance of the law which the Lord has commanded, saying, speak to the children of Israel, that they bring you a red heifer without blemish, in which there is no defect, and on which a yoke has never come. You shall give it to Eleazar the priest, that he may take it outside the camp, and it shall be slaughtered before him. And Eleazar the priest shall take some of the blood with his finger and sprinkle some of its blood seven times directly in front of the tabernacle of meeting. Then the heifer shall be burnt in his sight, its hide, its flesh, its blood, and its offal shall be burned. And the priest shall take the cedar wood and hyssop and scarlet, and cast them into the midst of the fire, burning the heifer. Maybe we can jump on to verse 9. Then a man who is clean shall gather up the ashes of the heifer and store them outside the camp in a clean place, and they shall be kept for the congregation of the children of Israel for the water of purification, for it is for purifying from sin. Now, here we see the sprinkled blood, which was sprinkled seven times before the tabernacle. You know, it covers the seven church ages. It covers the whole span of the life of the church as we are brought into that fellowship. So you see, it is the blood of that blameless heifer. It is the blood of that perfect or pure heifer that the priest should take and sprinkle it seven times It covers the whole church ages. And also, the ashes were to be kept in a clean place. And we know the clean place is in the name of the Lord. And a man who is also clean. Can you see the importance? You see, and this, it says that ash shall be towards, shall be, in verse 9, it shall be called the waters of separation. It shall be called the waters of purification, for it is for purifying from sin. Can you see? It is the waters of purification, the waters of separation, which are applied by a man who is also clean, which even calls for the ministry to be people of integrity, people of right standing before the Lord, so that the ashes can be sprinkled for everyone who comes into this true fellowship, who comes into Christ to fellowship together and to achieve, to accomplish the purpose of God in the church. Now, it shows again that there is a goal and a purpose for us to have that fellowship. In Exodus chapter 16, we may read Exodus chapter 16, when we read verse 9, it says, "Then Moses spoke to Aaron, say to all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your murmurings." Now, when the people cried to God, when people were crying for food and things, Moses speaks to Aaron to tell the congregation, can you see? Here's a man appointed, given the revelation of the purpose of God. He tells the priest, as we said, the ministry must be clean, must be able to receive from the Lord to give to the people. And he was told, tell the people who are the children of Israel, come near before the Lord. You should come near. You should come to the Lord. You should come into that fellowship. We are not just scattered about. We are not just everyone about his own business. We are not everyone about his own welfare. But we have a oneness where we come together. Is there a problem? Is there something that is fighting an individual or causing him to despair? Let's come together. We come together in fellowship. That's what the disciples did when they were there. When the apostles were beaten and told not to speak up in the name, they went to their own. When they were together in that fellowship, they cried out to God, and the whole house was filled with the mighty wind, and the Holy Spirit came down and baptized them all because they had come into true fellowship. Whenever we come into true fellowship, God will witness. Remember, the tabernacle is the tabernacle of witness. God will witness his presence. God will witness his power. God will witness his grace in his church. Can you see? So we come together for the accomplishment of that which we have been called to. In the first book of Samuel, we read the 14th chapter of the book of Samuel. We just want to read maybe one verse there, which is verse 36. "And Saul said, let us go down after the Philistines by night and plunder them until the morning light, and let us not leave a man of them. And they said, do whatever seems good to you. Then the priest said, let us draw near to God here. For us to achieve a purpose, for us to achieve a goal, for us to achieve that which is right for us, that which is desired of us, let us draw near to God. Let's be in fellowship with God. When we take our purpose, when we take that which we have need of, and we bring it to God, you know, it will be in the sincerity of heart. It will be in a, you know, in our integrity. So that when we bring it before God, like Abel did, it testified of his desire. It testified of his righteousness. It testified of his purpose. So drawing near to God is not just half-heartedly. It is to present ourselves to God so that what we have in our mind as a church, what we have in our mind as the bride of Christ, can be presented to God in oneness, in the oneness of spirit, in the oneness of faith. For we are called to one faith, one baptism, and one Lord. So you see, they gathered together, and then they said, let us draw near to God. We have drawn ourselves together, and then we also draw near to God. We have that fellowship. Like the book of Psalm 73 says in verse 28, but it is good for me to draw near to God. I put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all your works. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Why did David say, I drew near to God? In verse 27, it's written, for indeed, those who are far from you shall perish. Amen. You have destroyed all those who desert you for a harlotry, but it is good for me to draw near to God. Those who are far from God will be destroyed. Those who are far from God will perish. Those who don't have fellowship in God, with God, by God, cannot succeed. So, my brother, my sister, what is your prayer? What is your need? What is it that you desire of the Lord? Draw near to God. Let's be of one purpose and one heart. Let our desires, let our purpose be known to God as we are in true fellowship. Each one desiring the good of the other. Each one having care for the affairs of fellow brethren. We must be in fellowship. We cannot do without fellowship. We cannot make it without fellowship. We cannot live without fellowship. We must be in fellowship with one another and with God, having the same faith, the same purpose, and the same desire. May God richly bless you as we make this our heart's desire. Like David of old said, I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all your works. That's how we declare the works of God. That's how we declare the power of God. That's how we declare the grace of God. It is when we come together in oneness of spirit, in oneness of purpose, in oneness of faith. Soul, body, and spirit gather together for the purpose of God. May God bless us. May God help us through the day. Father, that the Father may have his way in our lives. So we pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, these few chopped up words, I present them, Father God, before thy people, that Lord God, you may work in us, that you may give us that faith, that you may lead us, that your word may abound in us. Father God, there are needs in your children. May you, as we are together in this mind and purpose, may you, Father God, bless our desires, bless our lives, bless our being together as we fellowship. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. God bless you all.